This is an I Am Listening podcast.
So I'm really excited to announce that through Labour's plans for neighbourhood, that we are going to be getting £20 million from the government for Twiddle and Gillingham. There is also further funding coming forward for playgrounds as well to improve children's spaces. So it's a huge amount of investment coming straight to our communities, straight from the government.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Kent Politics Podcast. I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, with another bite-sized edition rounding up what's been going on in the political world in Kent and some of the stories our reporting team have been looking at, including our local democracy reporters Simon Finlay, Robert Boddy and Dan Essen, who cover KCC, Medway and all the counties, borough and district councils. There was an interesting report looked at by Kent County Council's Scrutiny Committee this week over the bugbear that gets many of us riled up, fly tipping. Data in the report showed that the level of fly tipping in the county in some districts has doubled and in one case, in Maidstone, trebled in the past 10 years. In 2015 in Maidstone, there were about 800 reports of illegal waste dumping, but by 2025 it was over 2,800. Although the levels peaked during the 2020 COVID pandemic and has fallen away since, the trend has generally been upwards. The grand total across Kent rose from 15,988 to 22,844 in that period. There are a couple of caveats that in some cases the same incident may have been reported more than once, and there may be better ways of reporting them. There are two elements to fly tipping. If the rubbish is dumped by the side of the road, then the local council is responsible for picking it up, and KCC has to dispose of it. However, if the material is left on private land or property, then it is up to the landowner, and that's often our hard-pushed farmers who have to pick up the tab, and this can be incredibly expensive. It's something that the Country Land and Business Association, which represents landowners, has been banging on about for many years. In light of the figures, the CLA says that Kent is drowning in a mountain of waste. If you forgive the slightly mixed metaphor, one can clearly sense the frustration felt by its members. The latest figures, which are pretty shocking, do once again open up discussion about the limited powers and penalties authorities have when it comes to ensuring enforcement has a deterrent effect. Although the CLA says its members have now had enough, it has to be said that the vast majority of the reports come from dumping in public places, great piles of rubbish left lying in or by the side of the road. It's a serious business because there is a significant amount of dangerous material such as asbestos and gas bottles. One council leader, Stuart Jeffrey at Maidstone Borough Council, says the authority has been very proactive in the use of drones, issuing fines and fixed penalties, seizing vehicles and prosecuting offenders. But he said that the issue is far greater than the resources available to tackle it. As he says, you can swat a fly, but another will come back. The KCC papers say that the House of Lords Environment and Climate Change Committee found that penalties for fly tipping, and I quote, are too low to act as an effective deterrent and do not reflect the scale of financial gain associated with illegal dumping. Perhaps it is simply not enough of a priority in the government's in-tray with everything else it is having to deal with. So unfortunately, it does not look as if it is going to be overcome anytime soon. This week in Medway, Robert spoke with the mother of a young boy with complex needs, who says Medway Council isn't listening to her or a school he's been given a place at, both of which say it can't safely meet his needs. Hudson Black was supposed to start school at Parkwood Primary in September. His mother Charlotte says his education, health and care plan, which is a legally binding document setting out a child's specific needs and required support, is clear that he needs one-to-one supervision at all times, specially trained staff along with various other requirements. But Parkwood says it cannot provide that. He's now missed 5 months of school. His mother says that despite her best efforts to try to get the council to find him a more suitable place, the authority won't budge. She's taken the council to a tribunal, but that won't be heard until 2027, which means her son is likely to miss even more school before the situation is sorted. Charlotte says if Hudson is given the right environment, he will be able to learn and thrive, but the place at Parkwood isn't right for him. She also said the fact that he can't go to school and has to watch as his siblings go without him leaves him incredibly upset as he doesn't understand why he can't go too. His significant needs also mean that his mum has had to leave her work at the South East Coast Ambulance Service in order to care for him because he requires constant supervision. She hopes Medway Council will listen and help Hudson get what he needs. A Medway Council spokesperson said, as the matter is currently subject to an ongoing mediation and send tribunal appeal process, it would not be appropriate to comment further outside of that process. They added the council is committed to ensuring all children have access to school places that meet their educational needs.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Housing has been the top issue on Swale Council for quite some years now, particularly because they don't have a local plan and haven't had for some years. That will change this week, though, with the council finally making the call on where development should be concentrated in the borough. For months, the council's various local plan-related committees and working groups have been debating whether they should proceed with plans which will concentrate development in the eastern half of the borough around Faversham or in the western half around Sittingbourne and Sheppey. On Wednesday night this week, the full council met up to debate the proposals and make the final call. In general, the debate was split between councillors from the respective halves of the borough. One member, representing part of the borough's west, even said that Sittingbourne and Sheppey have had enough. Unfortunately, it's time for Faversham's turn. One councillor argued that this division traces back to the long-dropped Thames Gateway concept, which designated the west of the borough as an important area to focus development while leaving Faversham untouched. Needless to say, Faversham councillors did not take well to the suggestion that they've been spared the brunt of development, pointing out that they've been subject to plenty of unwanted and unplanned development in recent years too. The council had several options on the table. The one recommended for approval would make the local plan process focus on distributing their housing allocations between two large sites, one in the east of the borough and one in the west, as well as some smaller ones here and there in between. An amendment to revert to focusing on Faversham was defeated, and after quite some time of debate, the option to distribute the development between the two halves was passed. With the Heisted Park estate of more than 8,400 homes currently the subject of an appeal, and the council choosing to delay a 2,500 home application in Bobbing last week, they're not quite out of the woods yet, but they're now much closer to having a fully finalised local plan to direct development in a more organised way. What would you like to see in your area? New CCTV, playgrounds and some money to bring back good old bakers and butchers are just some of the suggestions some people have come up with for how £20 million could be spent. Three parts of Medway are set to benefit as part of the government's Pride in Place funding announced over the next decade, with a £60 million total cash injection for the towns. The funding forms part of a major national expansion of the government scheme, which now covers hundreds of communities across the UK and represents up to £5.8 billion in total investment. In Medway, Luton in Chatham, Reed Common in Strood and Twiddle in Gillingham have all been awarded £20 million each, which will see community and neighbourhood boards and panels set up to decide what it should be spent on. Gillingham and Raynham MP Nashaba Khan is keen to hear what people in her constituency want and is encouraging residents to have their say. Here she is explaining more.
So I'm really excited to announce that through Labour's plans for neighbourhood that we are going to be getting £20 million from the government for Twiddle and Gillingham. There is also further funding coming forward for playgrounds as well to improve children's spaces. So it's a huge amount of investment coming straight to our communities, straight from the government.
A lot of money. Where will that money actually go? Who decides who receives what?
It is a lot of money. It's £2 million over a decade, every year over a decade. And the plan for that money is that it's not decided by politicians in Westminster about how that money is spent. It's really about empowering communities. So the idea is that you set up local community and neighbourhood panels where the community has a real say in how that money is spent. And we work with the wider community as well through surveys to understand the local priorities so that that money is spent in a meaningful way, and it's spent in a way that actually benefits the local area. And it's for areas that have been overlooked for such a long time and desperately need that money and money for regeneration.
So who actually ends up on these community boards? Obviously, is there a selection process? Is there some sort of vote for that? Because obviously there'll be some people who may not get a say if they're not on one of these boards.
Well, there will be an application process and there will be a chair for each one of these boards who will help to sort of set that board up and ensure that it's representative. The MP, myself, will have a say, as will local councillors. So there is that political representation there as well. And the support is provided to ensure that the board has a full understanding of how things will work. And we will work very, very closely with national government. But ultimately, it will be the board that decides how that money is spent. In terms of the wider community, though, it's not about blocking them out. So if you don't end up being on the board, it doesn't mean you don't get a say. We will be out and about speaking to people, running surveys to ensure that the feedback that we get is truly representative of what local people want.
That's it for this week. Don't forget you can keep up to date with politics in Kent at Kent Online. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.